single prick of a pin. I have the sense that if I veer the car to the left, smash through the picket fence and the little tyke's playground, it will bounce us back like a rubber bumper. We pass a truck, Batchelder Casket Company, it reads on the side. Drive safely. Isn't that a conflict of interest? Kate sits in her car seat, eating animal crackers. Play, she commands. In the rearview mirror, her face is luminous. Objects are closer than they appear. I watch her hold up the first cracker. What does the tiger say? I manage.
Roar!
She bites off its head, then waves another cracker. What does the elephant say? Kate giggles, then trumpets through her nose. I wonder if it will happen in her sleep, or if she will cry, if there will be some kind nurse who gives her something for the pain. I envision my child dying while she is happy and laughing 2 feet behind me.
Giraffe, say? Kate asks. Giraffe?
Her voice, it's so full of the future. Giraffes don't say anything, I answer.
Why?
Because that's how they're born, I tell her, and then my throat swells shut. The phone rings just as I come in from the neighbor's house, having arranged for her to take care of Jesse while we take care of Kate. We have no protocol for this situation. Our only babysitters are still in high school. All 4 grandparents are deceased. We've never dealt with daycare providers. Taking care of the children is my job. By the time I come into the kitchen, Brian is well into conversation with the caller. The phone cord is wrapped around his knees, an umbilicus.
Yeah, he says. Hard to believe.
I haven't made it into a single game this season. No point now that they've traded him. His eyes meet mine as I put on the kettle for tea. Oh, Sarah's great. And the kids, they're fine. Right. You give my best to Lucy. Thanks for calling, Don. He hangs up. Don Thurman, he explains. From the Fire Academy, remember? Nice guy. As he stares at me, the genial smile sloughs off his face. The tea kettle starts to whistle, but neither of us makes a motion to move it off the burner. I look at Brian, cross my arms. I couldn't, he says quietly. Sarah, I just couldn't. In bed that night, Brian is an obelisk, another shape breaking the darkness. Although we have not spoken for hours, I know that he is every bit as awake as I am. This is happening to us because I yelled at Jesse last week, yesterday, moments ago. This is happening because I didn't buy Kate the M&Ms she wanted at the grocery store. This is happening because once, for a split second, I wondered what my life would have been like if I'd never had children. This is happening because I didn't realize how good I have it. Do you think we did it to her? Brian asks. Did it to her? I turn to him. How? Like our genes, you know? I don't respond. Providence Hospital doesn't know anything, he says fiercely. Do you remember when the chief's son broke his left arm and they put a cast on the right one? I stare at the ceiling again. Just so you know, I say more loudly than I've intended, I'm not going to let Kate die. There is an awful sound beside me. An animal wounded. A drowning gasp. Then Brian presses his face against my shoulder, sobs into my skin. He wraps his arms around me and holds on as if he's losing his balance. I'm not, I repeat. But even to myself, it sounds like I'm trying too hard.
This ends Disc 1.